It's Friday on KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'm really excited about today's theme, Italian food. We're also exploring Italian-American fare because there is a difference, and both have their charms. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite local Italian joint. We want you to describe what you order there in mouth-watering detail. Also, if there's a delicacy that you haven't been able to find at the Italian restaurants in town, at least not to your satisfaction, we'd love to hear from you too. 816-235-2888. Our critics may be able to help. Charles Ferruzza, writing for The Pitch, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gina. I'm glad to be here.
Food blogger and connoisseur Mary Block, great to see you.
Good to see you, Gina.
And Bonjuing Lee, also known as the Ulterior Epicure. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a while.
It has. Thanks, Gina.
Well, can we start by talking about the difference between Italian food versus, like, Italian-American food? So what you would find in Italy versus what you are probably more likely to find in Kansas City?
Well, I have a theory on this because, you know, there was a mass exodus for many reasons, from southern Italy in the early part of the century, which is why most people think of Italian-American cuisine, and they'd be right, as being mostly southern Italian. And which we should say southern Italy is mostly, like Sicily is very poor, and very basic cuisine. So Italian-American was sort of adapted by Sicilian immigrants to American taste, which is why the red sauce, the marinara sauce, tends to be sweet. It's got sugar in it. And, it's not fancy like Northern Italian cuisine. And most of the Italian-American restaurants in the Midwest, definitely, were opened by Sicilian-Americans or Southern Italians.
Bonjuing is someone who travels and photographs food all over the place. What are your thoughts about this distinction, Italian food versus Italian-American food?
I think I also come through it from a lens of having grown up in the United States as a Chinese American. My parents are immigrants from Asia, and I grew up eating Chinese food at home, arguably, but then going out to restaurants where it was Chinese American. So this cultural shift is very apparent to me. And I mean, I would argue that there are really no real Italian restaurants in Kansas City, at least. They're all Italian American. And,
for people who haven't been to Italy or been to a city that has like Italian food versus Italian American food, what is that like?
I think it's the difference of the ingredients, mostly, a lot of it. I mean, now we can get a lot more Italian ingredients, imported to the United States. But I think it's part about the ingredients. I think it's about the ethos of how you treat the ingredients. I think, like Charles said, we in the United States are only exposed to certain regions of Italian cuisine, and that's just Italy is one of the most regionalized countries still, especially culinarily. So same with Chinese, it's very regionalized. So you go just a few, kilometers down the road and you might find something very different, a different way of cooking this very similar ingredients too. Mexico as well.
Well, I hear personally a lot of grumbling in my own circles about Kansas City not having great Italian food. Every now and then a place opens up that promises to be the answer to all of my friends' prayers. But within a few months, that place is usually all but forgotten, and everyone's grumbling again. Is it really that bad, or are my friends just a bunch of negative Nellies?
Yeah, I would say negative Nellies.
I'm from St. Louis, where there is a large Italian population, and I used to eat on the hill all the time. And when I first moved here over 30 years ago, I could not find really fine, thin veal that wasn't tough. And I think that's kind of still the case compared to St. Louis. You don't have those kind of specialties. But there's some very good Italian food here, just not authentic.
I would disagree with that. But
wait, because, which part of it do you disagree with?
Well, the veal part, definitely. Because believe me, I've had many, many, many examples of tough veal in Kansas City. But Jasper's, would always head my list, has always had the most delicious, tender veal I've ever had. Now, there's still a lot of people who won't eat veal, but I love veal.
They're probably not searching for veal. And Charles, you're voting that my friends are negative Nellies.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Bonjuing?
Well, I would ask you, what is their complaint? What is disappointing? What's disappointing them after these restaurants open? Are they not finding that they're hoping to find?
It's not a highly detailed conversation. It's just a recurring grumble.
Hmm. But, you know, I wonder how many of your friends have actually been to Italy where they can make an accurate comparison.
I wonder that, too.
Yeah. Or maybe what, personally for me, it's a little bit homogenous. You go out to one Italian-American restaurant and it's kind of similar to a few others or a lot of others. So it's hard to differentiate them. And what maybe we're looking for is something new, not necessarily exciting, I don't know, but new and slightly different or doing something that's slightly better than the rest.
So there's a search for something that stands out.
Right.
And you know, a lot of restaurants in Kansas City may not be labeled Italian, but they serve really great Italian dishes.
Give me an example of what that would be.
Well, the Rieger, for instance. Howard Hanna does wonders with fresh pasta.
You agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
Mary, you're recommending actually a very specific dish at the Rieger on their current menu,
well,
which changes, obviously.
It does. He always has a pasta dish on it. Right now, there's one with burgers, bacon, and it's a very simple dish with olive oil and pecorino. He's done the same
What
type.
Kind of pasta is it?
It's
bucatini?
Yeah, bucatini.
Okay.
Exactly. And he's done some with Brussels sprouts. I mean, it's always ingredient focused. It's not, there's not a lot going on.
Tell me more about this bucatini. I mean, describe this dish so that I can really understand what's so great about it.
Well, the flavors of the pork jowl really come through. And I think the best pastas are really simple. So it's all on the, you know, really fresh ingredients, and you can really taste the cheese. You can really taste the pork. It's not like you're having a big ragu that overwhelms the pasta. You can really taste the fresh pasta.
For me, I'm a sucker for fresh pasta.
Yeah.
You know, like egg fresh pasta. I love that texture when they do it right. And I've had a couple of dishes at the Rieger as well where he's done filled pastas like ravioli that are really good.
Where else in town can you get house-made pasta?
I know Lydia says that she makes, they make house-made pastas. Sometimes she uses dry pasta, but I think there's always at least one or two that are made in-house.
Story also has homemade pasta.
In Prairie Village.
Mm-hmm. Cafe Italia, which is now in Parkville, used to be in North Kansas City, makes homemade pasta.
Okay, so yeah, there are quite a few places doing that. Mary was just saying that part of how she identifies really good pasta is simplicity. What about Italian food more generally? I mean, if you were to describe to me great Italian food, what are its characteristics?
I think that's, you know, great Italian food, as Bonjwing said, you know, Italy is so regionalized that towns, you know, next to each other will have very different cuisine. And I think it's hard to, you know, to sort of isolate that. I don't know.
I think for me, Italian cuisine, the best of what Italian cuisine is simplicity. They use really ripe, fresh products, and they don't do a lot to them. And I think that's it's a confidence that they know that they've got great products and they don't do very much with it, but they really let the flavor stand out. I think also Italian food tends to be, like a lot of poor culture cuisines like Chinese and Mexico, tends to be very, I'm going to use this word, lusty. It's very flavorful. It's very saturated flavors, but it's very simple.
Lusty. Can you explain a little more what you mean
by
that?
The one dish that I always think of when I think of Italian is like puttanesca, which is literally, it means prostitute. It's like a bowl of pasta with like olives and capers, and it's a very flavorful tomato sauce, and you know, it's very,
anchovies.
Very flavorful anchovies. Yeah, very flavorful cuisine. I think finding flavor, maximizing flavor, because the culture can be poor, and so they have to find flavor in interesting ways.
Mary, any thoughts on this?
Well, I was thinking when you asked earlier about who else makes fresh pasta, Michael Smith does a Thursday night, big night pasta, Italian menu, and it's different.
At Crossroads.
Yes, it's different every week. He always focuses on homemade pasta, and then he's got either a duck or a beef.
This is at Michael Smith, not extra virgin, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think he's a Italian chef in disguise because he really knows how to treat the ingredients.
If you mentioned, Mary, earlier in the show, The Hill in St. Louis, or just that St. Louis has a lot of great Italian restaurants. Those restaurants, at least a big part of what is appealing about them, it's not exclusively the atmosphere, but that's a big part of it. I wonder if you guys have a favorite Italian-American restaurant in town, if we are talking strictly about atmosphere.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm a fan of old-school Italian restaurants, the kind that I grew up going to, because I should just say off the bat, that the only time I ever had Italian food as a kid is when we went to restaurants, because my mother is not Italian American and was a horrible cook. So we had to go out to get Italian food. And so I like these old school restaurants like Anthony's on Grand, which is like, I like restaurants where you open the door and suddenly you're in 1966.
And you really are there.
Yeah.
I mean,
It looks and feels like an Italian restaurant. I mean, it's very Sopranos in a lot of way, but the lighting is dim. There's lots of, tchotchkes on the wall.
They have their own Mona Lisa.
Oh, thank God. And, and it's classic Italian-American food, cuisine, and it's really good, you know? I mean, when you're in the mood for a great 1960s Italian-American restaurant, it would head my list, Anthony's on Grand.
Is it fair to say it's stick-to-your-ribs Italian-American?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think they still serve Roma bread, and that used to be, for Kansas City, and the ne plus ultra of any Italian restaurant is they had to have Roma bread and cold butter.
One restaurant I like to go to every bit as much for the atmosphere as the food is Osteria Il Centro at 51st and Main.
A very different kind of atmosphere than what Charles was just
describing.
It is,
but it's a neighborhood place. It's charming. The service is great. It's cozy. They've got a fabulous wine list, and they've got traditional specialties like spadini and chicken marsala, which is actually a great dish they do there. And it's just a really nice place to be.
Bonjoing, when you think about atmosphere.
I think for me, Lydia's. I know maybe that's a little, a little cliche, but I do like it there. They make it nice, and the food is consistently good there. And talking about a Italian restaurant or Italian-American restaurant that focuses on a region that is maybe perhaps not as familiar, you know, Lydia Bastianich comes from the northeastern part of Italy, and so she brings a lot of the influences of nearby Austria. And actually, where she was born is now Croatia. So it's sort of a different look at Italian food that's highly regionalized.
How would you describe this particular look at Italian food? I mean, what defines it?
Well, it's from the Friuli region, and like I said, she came from the part of Italy that borders sort of the Alpine Austrian Germanic state. So there's a lot of use of like soured things, soured meats and cabbage and sausage, and you definitely feel that it's a little more Germanic influence to it, Austrian.
Getting back to the atmosphere question, what do you like about the atmosphere of Lydia's?
I like it's very different from both of the restaurants that they mentioned, which are smaller, more intimate.
Well, this is the only restaurant in town that's been, is designed by a world class.
That's right. Yeah. It's very
architect.
Big. It's got high ceilings. It's just there's something very it's very open. It's there's a celebratory feeling about the space. You feel like you're having a night out that's special and nice. And it's not an intimate space, though, I would say that. So if you're looking for something intimate, it's definitely not for you.
And you mentioned earlier that their pasta is made in house.
Yeah, they make some of their pastas. They always have two or three pastas on the menu of the day, and I think that the ones that are best for making fresh, they do make fresh. Some pastas are better from dried. So,
well, let's hear quickly from Kyle in Kansas City, Missouri, who's called 816-235-2888 to join this conversation. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
What can you recommend?
Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
It's called Brother Kyle.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Oh, that one. Yeah, hiya. I recommend the Bellinopoli.
And what do you recommend there and why?
Well, the gentleman was saying there's nobody makes fresh, simple ingredients. Jake, the owner, he makes his gnocchi by hand. I think that's every Wednesday. And he's in the kitchen making it by hand. It's very simple. The main sauces, they kind of marinara, but it's not, it's a red sauce. What is it? I can't remember the name of it. It's simple tomatoes, olive oil, onion.
So you like the gnocchi?
Well, the gnocchi is phenomenal. When I went to Italy and had my first panini, I came back, I went to the Bella and had a panini here, and it tasted just the same.
Cool. Well, Kyle, thanks for that recommendation. Bella Napoli is in Brookside, and I would say if we're talking about atmosphere, there is sort of a distinctive neighborhood atmosphere there. Who can talk about that?
Mary?
Well, there are two sides to it. One is a deli, and the other is more of a restaurant, and they have pizzas and pastas, I would say, would be their big sellers. And I think Jake does do a good job of duplicating the Italian way as much as possible.
Bonjwing, you are recommending Bella Napoli, it sounds like, for the groceries.
Well, yeah, there is a restaurant, and I've been there, and Mary's right, they make a lot of pizzas and pastas, and but I go to Bella Napoli probably more frequently to go as sort of using it as a pantry. It's like an Italian pantry. They've got a lot of imported things, lots of olives that you can get over there, and canned goods, too.
And pastas, dried pastas you can't get elsewhere.
Mary, you, staying in Brookside for just a little while, you've mentioned Osteria Il Centro, and it sounds like you're really recommending there the chicken marsala.
Yes.
First of all, what is chicken marsala for those who may not have tried it?
It's a dish, and you can get veal marsala as well at a lot of restaurants. It's made with a marsala wine.
Which is a sweet wine.
Yes, and it has garlic and mushrooms in this case. And the chicken is very, it's sliced, so it has to be cooked properly, otherwise it's going to be too dry. And the sauce is very flavorful, and it's served on mashed potatoes, and it's comfort food.
And it's a creamy sauce.
Yeah. Well,
it's a lightly, it's not a milky creamy sauce. Yeah.
It's
a thick sauce, maybe?
It's kind of like a gravy,
It's more of a gravy than I would say cream sauce, but it is satisfying.
So you like the way they prepare this dish, chicken marsala, at Osteria Il Centro. Mm-hmm. What is it about that preparation?
It's just well executed. It is what it's supposed to be, I guess, and I like it.
Charles, tell me about Cafe Italia in Parkville. I have never been there.
Cafe Italia is owned by two friends, childhood friends, Guy Tamburello and Paul Anselmo. And, they're very well connected to the Italian restaurant community because Cafe Italia used to be on North Oak Trafficway. And they moved to Parkville, and that was a good move because the new location is so much nicer than the other one. And they do a lot of handmade, homemade pastas, and everything there is good. They do traditionally what I call old school Italian, which is, they also do steaks, some version of steaks. And I love that they make their own gelato. They have great desserts.
Yum. Yeah. This sounds a little bit like sort of the older, like, New York Italian restaurants.
I would say that they remind me a lot of Little Italy restaurants.
We've got to take a break, but when we return, we'll dive into your calls. We're ready to hear where you go for great Italian food or Italian-American, if that's what you're into, at 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are dishing on Italian food. We've got Charles Ferruzza, Bonjwing Lee, and Mary Block in the house, and we'd love to hear from you, too. If you have a comment or recommendation about Italian food in Kansas City, now is the time to call 816-235-2888. Let's hear from Bonnie in Fairway. Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie,
hello.
Are you with us?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Please share your recommendation.
Okay, mine is kind of the opposite of fine dining. It's Italian Delight on Martway in Mission. It's owned by a couple of brothers from New York, and you go there and you have to stand in line and order, and they bring the food to you. But the food is really consistently good. They have everything from meatballs and spaghetti to pizza to spinach lasagna on Friday night only.
You sound like a regular.
I am. I really am. In fact, I went by last night and brought it home for dinner. They have a really good soup called pasta e fagioli, which is a bean soup with pasta and vegetables in it, and I think it's delicious. It's just good. They even have tiramisu.
So Bonnie is recommending Italian Delight and Mission.
Locations in the entire country that...
And excuse me for that. Bonnie is recommending Italian Delight and Mission. And I've never been there, but she's saying something that we've heard again and again, which is, it's just good. Is there something about Italian food and especially Italian-American food where it's hard to describe what is good about it?
I would argue it's flavor. It's Italian food uses a lot of umami, like Parmesan cheese and tomatoes have a lot of umami. I think it's just flavorful.
It's comfort food, though.
Mm-hmm. And it is comfort food. That's true.
Traditional comfort food.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyone been to Italian Delight?
I have many times. I like it a lot. It's, you know, probably the least fancy Italian restaurant in Kansas City because you feel like you're going through a cafeteria line.
Is it open lunch and dinner?
I believe it is, okay. Yes.
And I remember when my kids were growing up and we would have sports parties, we'd get huge plates of, or huge...
Containers
of lasagna. And it was great lasagna.
It is very good lasagna.
So the lasagna at Italian Delight, I am going to have to take a note of that. Let's talk to Kent in Kansas City. Hi, Kent. Kent, are you with us?
I am here.
Please share your recommendation.
Well, you were talking about veal earlier and also about atmosphere. And this is a little bit of... it's a little difficult to get in because it's a private club. And hello, Charles, by the way.
Hello.
And everyone else. But the River Club, if you can find a member to take you there, they have absolutely the best veal I have ever tasted. As Charles mentioned, some people don't eat veal, and I usually don't, but I break my rule when I go there. The atmosphere is amazing because... it is truly a classic private club in Kansas City, and the service is excellent. But the veal there is paper thin, very simply served, just a couple of capers, a couple of pieces smaller than the size of the palm of your hand. But it's absolutely incredible. And interestingly enough, because you have to be a private member, one of their very generous members puts dinner for 10 as an auction item for different groups in Kansas City, including like the Lyric Opera and things. So if you look
out... That's good to know.
Yes, if you look out at those events and see dinner at the River Club, you should definitely try to get in because it's certainly worth it.
Well, it sounds like an exclusive proposition that perhaps... we won't all get to try, but yeah, has anyone here had occasion to dine at the River Club, particularly eating some of these Italian or Italian-inspired veal dishes?
I have not eaten at the River Club in a long time, but I should say that the chef there is Linda Dewar, who used to be the executive chef at the Italian restaurant that used to be on Frondizi's on Main Street, which was owned by Jimmy Franze. And I always thought the food at Frondizi's was great, really, really great. So I can imagine, you know, her Italian cuisine at any place would be wonderful.
I have had that veal at the River Club that Kent talks about. I probably wouldn't wax quite as poetic about it, but it is very good.
We have, speaking of places that are no longer with us, we have a tweet from one of our listeners who says that one place was great, now long gone, was Jimmy and Mary's at 34th and Main. Now this listener is recommending Jasper's and also says that Villa Capri has great egg parm.
What? Oh, eggplant parmesan. God, that was kind of a restaurant. That's the kind of term you would hear in a kitchen. Three egg parms. I loved Jimmy and Mary's. Man, it was, talk about a time warp restaurant. It was like walking into the 1950s. And I especially like the fact that they served really, really late. There's not a restaurant like that anymore.
Mary, you have been to Plate. I mean, that's a place that is a new Italian restaurant getting a lot of buzz right now. It's on the eastern edge of Brookside on a sleepy little corner that's been coming to life in recent months. I'm hearing a lot of excitement about it. What did you think?
I was there just a couple nights ago. It's been open since the holidays. And you walk in and it's just pulsing with energy. It's really a beautiful space. Andrea and Christian, the owners, designed it and did it themselves. And it is not exactly what you'd expect from a neighborhood place. It's much sleeker than that. If you walked into it and you were in New York, you would not... find anything amiss. It just looks like it could be.
Are the owners also the chefs there?
No. The chef was the sous chef at Classic Cup for about 18 years.
Okay.
And they would tell you it is definitely not traditional Italian. It's modern with a twist. For instance, they have a bruschetta that has roasted Brussels sprouts and ricotta, which is, you know, and I ordered it and it was great. And I thought, huh, why didn't I think of that? It was one of those head slapper moments because it was so obvious once I had seen it on a menu. And then they do mushrooms in a parchment paper with truffle oil or salt. And
is it expensive, Mary?
It is not unreasonable. It is not cheap. It would be like going to Lydia's, I would say.
Okay.
And they have two different pasta sections. They have a, and I think it's all homemade. They have a appetizer pasta section with a lot of, they have a, actually just three, but they're all stuff. So it's a ravioli and a tortellini. And then they have main courses with like pappardelle and fettuccine. And they use all meats from local farms. And
it's,
I thought
it's
it was
a pretty little, it's a little jewel box restaurant.
It really is. And I thought it was excellent. I had a salmon with squash puree and caponata, and it was light and really excellent.
Light is not usually a description you get.
But it in this case it was, and they had a beautiful apple and pear galette at the end that it was worth waiting for.
Yum. That sounds really good. Well, let's get back to some of our critics' recommendations, and we'll turn right back to our callers. Charles, you're recommending Jasper's. First of all, for people who don't know it, what is the Jasper's story?
Jasper's, which I've written about many times, is sort of a microcosm of the history of Italian-American cuisine in Kansas City, because Jasper Mirabile Sr., who opened the first restaurant, opened it in 1954, and it was a little tiny neighborhood restaurant that had, you know, spaghetti and meatballs and fried chicken, which used to be a staple of Italian restaurants once upon a time. And by the 1970s, it had completely changed course and became a very, very fancy restaurant. Very fancy. The waiters wore tuxedos. There was a lot of tableside service. And then after Mr. Mirabile passed away, before he passed away, they had moved the restaurant south to 103rd Street. Now it's sort of a combination of, you know, old school Italian, which I would call, you know, red sauce Italian, and some of their fancier dishes. But it's at a price point that's a lot more accessible than it used to be. And it's one of my favorite places to go because the food is so good and the service is great. It's really old school. They remember you. You know, it's a great place.
Do you have a favorite dish there, Charles?
I have many, many favorite dishes there. In fact, I was just there. I really like the fish dishes there because the fish is so fresh. And you know, when they do fish dishes there, they're very, very simple. They're not, you know, fussy. And the desserts there. That's the only restaurant in Kansas City that I know of. There might be others. That still have a dessert cart. Where they wheel the cart over and it's three levels of desserts.
So you can see it before you eat it?
You can see it and it's, you know, you want everything on it. That's my problem. But the desserts are still made there and they're fresh tasting and really delicious and really fattening.
So this is Jasper's we're talking about. Mary, you like the mozzarella salad there. Tell
yes.
us about it.
Well, it's theater also. And right. It harkens back to the days when they used to make Caesar salad at your table. They actually make the mozzarella in front of you. They wheel it over. They've got the hot water.
The curds,
everything. They make the mozzarella. And I love it in the summer because they've got wonderful heirloom tomatoes. And then they slice up the mozzarella, serve it with some olive oil and basil and olives, and it's perfect.
And really wonderful bread. And we should warn people that this mozzarella dish – It's really tempting to eat a lot of it, and then you're not full. I mean, then you're too full for dinner.
So it's a great thing to share.
Yeah.
So Mary brought up something that I kind of want to just interject here, if I may. Caesar salad. I love Caesar salad. But I'm finding that a lot of Caesar salads are being, for the lack of a better word, bastardized. I mean, we have a lot of these modern Caesar salads where they're using white anchovies, which I just...
If they even have anchovies at all.
Well, I'm okay if they leave the anchovies out because originally the original recipe had no anchovies in it. The anchovy flavor came from the Worcestershire sauce. So then people started adding the salted anchovies, which I love, which I find a little more traditional than white anchovies. Now people are blitzing white anchovies into the dressing, and I can't get out and find a Caesar salad that's made, quote-unquote, properly anymore.
Everyone's wrong with the white anchovies?
I don't know. It's just too much acid. It's just like it's very vinegary, and a Caesar salad shouldn't be vinegary. It should be garlicky. It should be creamy. It should be cheesy. It should be, you know.
Well, anchovies make it so salty.
I love it. I love it. And that's what Caesar salad is to me. But that's why I like this, the Caesar salad at Lydia's, like you were talking about.
It's the only delicious Caesar
Mary
salad.
Mary is recommending.
But she's recommending the one at Jasper's, which is what made me think
No, I'm recommending the one at Lydia's.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said, okay.
Jasper's does have a good Caesar salad.
I was just saying that the mozzarella reminded me of it.
Reminded you of it, and that's what got me thinking about it, right.
But Mary, tell us about the Caesar salad you're recommending.
Well, one of the things I love—
At Lydia's.
One of the things I love about it is that they take the leftover bread that they have on the plates and slice it, and so instead of a typical square crouton, it's thin, and then it soaks up the dressing.
Yeah.
And
but it's still a little crunchy.
It's a crunchy, but a little chewy.
And you can get it up with your fork. You know those big, thick chunk, the little bricks of croutons that you can't really quite get on your fork.
And it's the right amount of dressing and cheese. And I have the recipe at home, and they use an egg. And we've talked about how eggs are not often used because of the pasteurization issue. But the recipe that I have calls for a hard-boiled egg, so you still have the yolk. And then at the end, she adds a little splash of olive oil to finish it off.
Charles, you wanted to chime in here quickly.
Yeah. The best part of the Caesar salad at Lydia's is to go when they have Sunday brunch, and that you can have all the Caesar salad you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Infinite Caesar salad. There you have it. Let's hear from Ada in Brookside. What are you recommending, Ada?
Hi, I'm recommending Bella Napoli. Since I live in Brookside, I often walk over and eat a casual dinner there. I like the ambiance. It's very casual. I love the carpaccio on grilled radicchio. It's beef carpaccio with a little balsamic, and it's great. I like the spaghetti carbonara and the salsiccia pasta. And I think the tiramisu is absolutely the best I've probably ever had.
Well, Ada has just mentioned carbonara. That is a dish that Emily Ferris mentioned a little earlier. What is carbonara, and where do you guys recommend it? Ada's recommending carbonara at Bella Napoli.
I've never had the carbonara at Bella Napoli. A lot of, it's one of those dishes that is, there's many, many versions of it, all mostly incorrect. Carbonara should really be egg, bacon, a little bit of garlic.
Pepper.
Black pepper.
And a very simple dish, but somehow in the 1970s, it became a cream pasta dish. And, that's icky. But, cheese. Parmesan.
Cheese, yeah.
Jasper's has a good carbonara. Osteria Il Centro has a very good carbonara.
We have a tweet that everything at Pezzatino has been delish. Has anyone tried that place? It's a deli, right?
Yeah, no, I haven't, but I drive by it all the time. And it's a deli, and I think they also do sell, it's also slightly, they sell goods too. I mean,
they do have pantry goods. Yeah. I've been there. They've got really good paninis, but in the evenings you can have a
it doesn't stay open very late, though.
Entree, yeah, I think 7 or 8.
And that's in the Crossroads, right?
Outskirts.
Yes. Yeah.
Bonjuing, you are recommending Pizza Bella, which pizza is always a whole show's worth of a subset of Italian food. But what do you like about Pizza Bella?
Well, I like that they, it's wood fired, so you get, you get that sort of blistered, knobby crust, which I like. You've got the little bit of elasticity left in the dough, but then you also get the crust. I like their toppings. I think pizza, you're right, it's Charles and I have talked about this before, but it kind of is it Italian? Is it Italian American? I would argue it is.
It is. My argument is a pizza restaurant is not an Italian restaurant. So
it's
its own subset
dish.
Yeah.
And the other pizza place that I really like is Johnny Joe's. While we're on the topic, it's just west of the plaza. And what I really like about theirs is that, first of all, if you buy a pizza from there, you got to commit to a pizza that's big enough for a whole family. But they reheat really well. So at lunchtime, you can go in there and you can buy by the slice and they'll reheat it for you. But you would never know.
Reheated pizza seems specifically Italian-American as opposed to Italian.
Yes.
Mary, you like the Brussels sprouts at Pizza Bella.
I do. And they're made in the same wood-fired oven. Not exactly the same one. They have two different ovens. One, they do vegetables and other items and specials that are not pizza. And these wood-roasted sprouts have pancetta and almonds, cranberry, and they're just addictive.
And cheese.
Yeah. Can't forget the cheese.
Our final word on pizza before we resume our generalized Italian food discussion will come from Andy and Waldo. Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys. I was just going to say, I'm going to have to disagree with Charles on the pizza end, but I was going to suggest Il Lazzarone in St. Joseph in the River Market. They do incredible Neapolitan pizza, and I think they're one of only a handful of restaurants in the entire country that are officially certified in the Neapolitan pizza realm. And the ingredients are fresh, very simple, and it's a wonderful convivial environment, at least in the River Market. I've never been to the one in St. Joseph.
Andy, what kind of pizza do you get there?
I'm pretty basic. I just get the margarita pizza, and I'll start with a bruschetta, and it's the flavors pop, and it's a really fun place.
Well, Charles, you have actually, for Central Standard on our last pizza show, I believe, you took our listeners through sound to the kitchen at Il Lazzarone and talked to the owner there. What can you tell us about that as far as its connection to an authentic Italian cuisine?
Well, I don't consider pizza especially to be an authentic Italian cuisine, but even though, you know, it originated in Naples. But Il Lazzarone is a great spot. They take their pizza very, very seriously. And it is very fresh tasting. You know,
it's all about the crust there.
It is about the crust. Oh, Neapolitan pizza tends to be, yeah, about the crust.
Is there any other thing? Any other way?
Yeah, well.
Well, leaving pizza behind and the controversy that comes with it, what about Italian desserts? We've named a couple of places where you've recognized the desserts on the menu is something worth gravitating toward. What is your favorite Italian dessert, and where can you get it in town?
I'm not a huge fan of Italian desserts typically. I just like the biscotti at Lydia's. I think it's a nice way to finish the meal.
Describe it. Biscotti.
Well, they're just Italian cookies. You know, some are almond, some are chocolate. They're just a nice light way to end the meal.
With some dark coffee.
Biscotti and dark coffee at Lydia's, is that what we're hearing?
Yeah. The
whole table wants
that.
Well,
you know what I like, and I'd like to ask the other two if they or anyone else who can recommend a good cannoli.
Well,
like a good crispy shell filled with nice fluffy.
Of course you're looking at me who I don't like cannoli.
Why?
I've never liked cannoli. I don't know, it's not a very interesting dessert for me, and I've always hated it, actually.
I have to believe they're good at Jasper's.
They're extreme. He's the cannoli king of Kansas City.
I've had the cannolis there, yeah.
Yeah. But you have to like cannoli, and I'm not a fan.
Pasta is something that a lot of people make at home with very little fuss. Any advice for home cooks wanting to expand their Italian menus beyond spaghetti and meatballs or just wanting to up their game in terms of authenticity?
You know, it really is easy to make pasta at home. And you just need a few ingredients, garlic oil. You can throw in some Italian sausage, broccoli raw.
Are you talking about actually making the pasta itself?
Well, that would be a way to up the authenticity.
Yeah, and I was going to say what Mary was going to say. It is very easy to make your own pasta. You know, get some 00 flour. But it's not that time consuming, given how great it can be if you make it fresh with egg yolks and flour, and it's very simple.
Any recommendations for people trying that for the first time?
Follow a recipe for the pasta itself, because if you add too much water, too many eggs.
And they're everywhere. You can find them online everywhere.
Yep.
Since this is our last food show before Valentine's Day, is there a most romantic Italian restaurant in town? Going once, going twice.
Okay, Anthony's on Grand.
I was going to say, since you described it as so dark and...
Yeah, it's you know, you could get engaged there or cry there, no one cares.
Do they still have the gentleman who sings the sort of karaoke versions of the Italian, like Sinatra songs and stuff?
Yes, and you know, remember to tip him, he's a good guy.
And I'd go to Il Centro because they've got such a great wine list.
If you can get in, yeah.
Our time is up for this Italian food roundup. Bonjuing Lee, thanks for your recommendations.
Thanks for having me.
Bonjuing is on the internet as the Ulterior Epicure. Mary Block, blogging at Around the Block. This has been fun.
It has been great fun.
And Charles Ferruzza, whose columns can be found in The Pitch. Thank you.
Ciao.
You can find the list of today's recommendations at kcur.org later today. If you know someone who needs advice on crying in restaurants this Valentine's Day, that conversation, like everything else you heard, will be available at kcur.org/Central Standard. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays by Jen Chen. We get help from interns Coy Duggar and Glenn Frizzell. Special thanks to Kyle Palmer. Linda Scher runs the board. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.